Coming from the subcontinent to study at university began the biggest adventure of my life. But the excitement of being a new student in a new place also comes with new challenges. I miss home. I miss my family. I miss my friends. Not knowing anyone, not knowing how things work, it can be lonely, confusing, and stressful at times. That's why I'm so thankful I heard about Subbies. Subbies is for students from the subcontinent, India, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Bangladesh. It's been a home away from home for me. Each week we enjoy good food, curries, just like my mom makes. Good fun, games, Diwali, cricket, good friends. I met my best friends at Subbies. And good news from God. Who doesn't want to find peace? I hang out for Subbies. It's the highlight of my week. But we need more keen people to partner with us, to generously give to us, and to pray for us, so that these students will return to their home countries with the gospel, not just their university degrees, so that we might make disciples of all nations. Thank God for Subbies.
Okay, well, excuse the technical hitches. The sound and the video was out of sync, but I hope you got a taste there of Subbies. So let me ask you, where was that video filmed? Yes, well done, right here, even in this room. Good stuff, Thomas. I'll try and find a prize for you later. But yes, you can give a round of applause for Thomas. Good job, mate. I'll invite now Suraj Nepali, my good friend and partner in the gospel, up the front, and how about we put our hands together for him as well. Now, can I borrow one of them? Thank you. Cheers. You take that one. Welcome along, my friend, and terrific to have you along. Gee, it's been a few years since Subbies started back in 2017. I worked out I must have met you halfway through 2016.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you want to tell us a little about your story? Before we get back to your story, tell us a bit about right now. So who you are, and perhaps, I think we've got a photo of your family.
Yes,
tell us about your family.
I think there's a photo. My name is Suraj. I'm originally from Nepal, but I live here and serve God at Subbies here. And I've got my family there, Jemima, my wife, and I've got two daughters, Georgiana and Poinciana. Georgiana is now 5 years old and Poinciana is 3.5 years old. And we go to St. Mark's Anglican Church in Belle Reve as a family.
Yeah, wonderful. And how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife in 2013 in Nepal.
In Nepal, so she went over there.
Yes,
and what was she doing over there?
Yeah. She went with the MPART, do you know MPART?
Ah, yes, MPART, the mission and, organization. Yep. Great, wonderful. And so how did you, you first met her 2013.
Yes.
And then you came to Australia in 2016.
I came to Australia in 2016, beginning of 2016. And then I was a youth trainee at St. Mark's Anglican Church in Belle Reve. And that's at that time I met you.
Met me and we started Subbies. Great. And so did you come to Australia to marry your wife,
yes,
Jemima?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, that's a great news story. And how many years you've been married now?
8 years.
Hey, shivers, that's gone quick. Yes. Well done. Yes, terrific. Now tell us, were you always a Christian, or tell us about your life back in Nepal?
My story is a little bit not very funny story, but I would like to share with you. I was born into a Hindu family back in Nepal, and I became a Christian when I was 10 years old, around 10 years old. All my family was non-Christians, and my dad is a very strong Hindu believer who hates Christians, who fights with Christians. And, you know, he many times he threw my Bibles into the bin and things like that. So anyway, there was a church very close to my house, and I really wanted to go to church. I used to see these little children going to church, enjoying and having a wonderful time. And I really wanted to go to church. But my father said to me, never, ever go to church. Christianity is a Western religion. It's a foreign religion. Jesus is not our God. He's a foreign God. So never go to church. Don't go to church. And one day, being a rebellious child, I went to church. And then as I was about to enter the church.
You naughty boy, yeah.
Pardon?
You naughty boy, yes.
In a good way. And I went to church. And as I was about to enter the church, my pastor, he said to me, "Hey, Suraj, please don't come to church. If you come to church, your dad will fight. Dad will come and fight with us, and he will, you know, destroy the church." And he was scared of my dad. So what I was not allowed to go into the church. So I went behind the church to look in through the window, the Sunday school that was happening at the church. So every Saturday, because Saturday is our public holiday, not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. So every Saturday morning, I used to go behind the church to looking through the window, the Sunday school. We still call it Sunday school. I don't know why. And one day the pastor came and said to me, "Hey, Suraj, you can come to church. We'll pray about it and we'll talk to your dad and let's see what happens." And I was allowed to go into the church and I learned more and more about this new foreign God, Jesus. And when I was 17 years old, my dad comes and says to me, "Suraj, I want to talk to you today. I have noticed that you have been going to church for a long time. So today you have to make a decision. If you want to stay in my house, you have to stop going to church. But if you want to continue to go to church, then I will kick you out of my house." So I was 17 years old, and in my culture, at the age of 17, you don't leave the house. But I had no other option, so I left the house, and God, you know, directed me, led me through, and now here I am.
That's a phenomenal story. So encouraging to see our great God.
Absolutely.
Leading you, guiding you, protecting you.
Yeah.
As a very young child, and it's just hard for us to imagine, you know, being kicked out of your family at such a young age. And I imagine there's no social security and things, you know, government welfare in Nepal for kids who are kicked out of their family. And but God's we've got you on the, you know, other side of the world now, doing great things each week, now teaching, you know, 30, 40, up to 70 Hindus, Buddhists and Muslims that walk into this very room every
week.
And it's just phenomenal. I think it's still the largest evangelistic ministry to subcontinentals in Australia.
Absolutely.
So it's just been very exciting to see, and to see God use you. So
thank you.
Great stuff, brother. How can we I've just sort of shared very quickly some of the great things that are happening, and I know we partner with you as Wellspring Church to help with the food and feed the international students each week. Finances are very tight for them. What are some of the challenges for subbies?
Some of the challenges are we need people to partner with us. Can you imagine, as Sam said, that every week, every Tuesday, we have here around 35 to 40 non-Christian people from Hindu background, Muslim or Buddhist background, come and hear the gospel. So we have around 40 non-Christians on average and 10 Christians. So it's unfair. So it's good to have more Christians to come and partner with us. And also it's a self-fundraising, 100% self-fundraising ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support.
So you're like a missionary. You have to raise 100% of your own funds. How many days a week do you work?
I work 3 days a week.
Okay, so you got funding for 3 days a week to reach the 70, you know, the dozens and dozens and dozens of non-Christians that walk in our doors.
Absolutely,
Okay. So that's, you know, a great thing that people could perhaps financially partner with you, but if they want to be a prayer partner, what can
they
do?
So I've got some information there. You can grab information there or put your name or
an email address
and then I'll contact you,
Good. Okay, thank you, Suraj.
So
we're going to hear you share God's word very soon. So how about we put our hands together for Suraj again? What an amazing story and of God's work in his life. Right now, the kids, you're going to go through and follow Beck or Mrs. Goff through to... she's a school teacher, watch out for her. She'll follow her through to the back, but I think Dell is gonna stay here, and Anna, and Suraj, can I have the microphone back? So is Dell still here? Where's Dell? Oh, wonderful, okay. So we've got three Bible readings, thank you, that are gonna come up on the screen. I'm going to do things a bit differently. Hopefully many of you, most of you, all of you have a blue Bible in front of you. There's going to be three readings that are all connected by theme. And Del was so keen, she asked me before the service, could she read? So she's going to lead us off with Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 from page 15. A big promise from God to Abraham. And then I'll ask for two more volunteers for the next two. But Del, do you want to read that one for us? You can, oh, yep, you can read from there. Or yep. Good girl. So yellow mic.
The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all those peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Great, thank you. The whole all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through Abram, through a big promise. All right, Anna, can you take the microphone to, can I have another volunteer to read our next reading from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 5 to 6. So we move from about 2000 BC to 1000 BC. And yep, over here, do you want to give it to Chris? Thank you, great, good girl, well read. So page 1046.
I can't hear you, darling, never mind. Okay, Isaiah 49, verse 5 and 6. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honoured in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.
Wonderful. Great. And one more. So we see there a servant would come along and be a light to the ends of the earth. One more, Matthew chapter 28. Hopefully all of us have heard of this one. Matthew 28, someone want to volunteer? Great, George up the back. Thanks, Anna. So page 1422. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The last words of the Gospel of Matthew.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Thanks, George. So there we have words from 2000 BC, 1000 BC, and then 0 BC. And or maybe that was about 34 BC, AD. Now, do you want that mic or do you want this thing? Okay. All right. Thanks, Anna. Great job. And I'll pass this one to you. Thanks, Suraj.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Let's begin with the small word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We believe in your word. Help us to understand your word today. And help us not to just to understand, but also to follow and do what you want us to do, Lord. Help us to implement the teaching that we are going to learn today in our life. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. This passage is a very significant passage in the Bible, known as the Great Commission of Jesus. And Jesus gives this Great Commission just before he's ascending to heaven. And this is the final and the last commission that Jesus gives to his disciples before ascending to heaven. And in people's final say is very important. Therefore, it should be taken with care. And this is the great commission Jesus gives to his disciples. And this passage occurs right after Jesus' resurrection. So during his ministry life, Jesus teaches his disciples everything he should teach. And after that, before he's ascending to heaven, he gives them the great commission. And he says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this statement emphasizes Jesus' divine authority and power over all creation, empowering his disciples to carry out the mission. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. When the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him. I have a friend from at Sabis from Bangladesh. He's from Bangladesh, and he's a very strong Muslim believer, and he's a Muslim researcher. And he knows about the Bible more than some Christians do. When you talk to him about the Bible, he knows exactly which book, which verse, what chapter, even the commentaries. Don Carson, and he knows all those people. But he's a serious Muslim researcher. And one day, but he's a Muslim from Bangladesh. So one day I caught up with him to have a coffee and share the gospel. And in our conversation, what he said was very interesting. He said, Suraj, can you show me anywhere in the Bible that Jesus says these three words? I am God. He never says in the Bible. But why do you worship him? Why do you call him as your Lord? Because Jesus has never said these three words, I am God, even in Greek. But in this context, in this passage, you can see the disciples worshipped him. The disciples knew about Jesus pretty well because they walked with him, they learned from him, they spent day and night with Jesus. And the disciples knew exactly who Jesus was. He was not just a prophet, but he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah, and they knew that Jesus deserved to be worshipped. And when the disciples were worshipping him, Jesus doesn't say, hang on guys, I'm just a prophet, don't worship me. He doesn't say that. He doesn't stop his disciples from worshipping him, because he is God, he is the Lord, he is the Messiah, and he deserves to be worshipped. And we all know the story of Jesus' birth. When Jesus was newly born, the wise man, the Messiah, what do you call them? In Nepali we call them Maji. But the Messiah came and worshipped the newly born king. And here, the disciples of Jesus are worshiping the newly risen Jesus. Jesus is giving, here in this context, Jesus is giving the great commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. This is not a request. Jesus is not requesting, hey, Suraj, can you please go? Or, hey, disciples, can you please go and share the gospel? He doesn't say that. He's not requesting. He's commanding. And a command must be followed. In command, there is obligation. There is a compulsion. You must do. And this great commission is not just for the disciples. But this great commission is for everyone who calls Jesus Lord. This great commission is for everyone who believes Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This great commission is for you and for me. This great commission is for anyone who believes in Jesus, that he is the Lord and the Messiah. And this is not a request. Jesus is not requesting, he's commanding. And command must be followed. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't say, go and share the gospel. That's what we are taught by our pastors. Go and share the gospel. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Sharing the gospel is quite easy. But making disciples of all nations requires trust in God completely, commitment, and discipline. Because Jesus assumes that sharing the gospel is part of Christian life. It's our daily routine, you know, as we get up and have breakfast, you know, something like that. Discipleship or sharing the gospel is part of our Christian life, and it has to happen every day. Wherever we go, we have to share the gospel. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, go. But the question is, are we going? Are we complying with God's, with Jesus' commission? Are we doing what Jesus has commanded us to do? Maybe you have a neighbor that you haven't shared the gospel. You often catch up with your neighbor, but it's a very short and a brief chat. But God is commanding us to go and share the gospel and make disciples of disciples. Maybe every week you see your children's friends, parents, when your children are having a swimming lesson or a rugby lesson or cricket lesson, and you haven't shared the gospel yet, but God is commanding us, God is commanding you and I to share the gospel. And most Christians don't share the gospel because of the fear of rejection, and it is true. And some, it's very, because we don't want to be rejected. But I want to encourage you, rejection is part of Christian life. Rejection is part of discipleship. If you want to share the gospel, you have to be rejected. Jesus himself was rejected. He was despised, he was hated, and he was ultimately killed. And Jesus says, when we share the gospel, you are going to be rejected. People are going to disagree with you. You are going to be despised. You are going to be persecuted. And you are going to be hated. You might be killed sometimes. And that's part of Christian life. That's part of discipleship. I get rejected all the time at Subbies. I remember my grandmother, my mom's mother, she became a Christian in 1950s, around that time. Nepal was close to other countries. No foreigners could go to Nepal until 1950s. And around that time, around 1950s, lots of missionaries went to Nepal. Even lots of CMS missionaries from Australia went to Nepal, and they shared the gospel. And many, many thousands of Nepalese became Christians, and one of them was my grandmother. So my grandmother was one of the earliest Christians in Nepal. I remember her story is horrible. When they became a Christian that time, and they had to walk 3 hours just to get to the, in the Himalayas, just to get to the church. And I remember one day they were worshiping, gathering in someone's house. At that time, the police came and arrested them. And thankfully, my grandmother wasn't there in that time. And my grandmother's friends were arrested by the police. You know the persecution? What was the persecution? In between your nails and flesh, they would put, the police would put the needles and slowly press them. And then they would leave for days bleeding. That was the punishment. But that didn't stop my grandmother and the Christians. They kept going, they're pushing hard because they knew that Jesus is the Lord. So what I'm saying is, rejection is part of Christian life. If we want to share the gospel, we have to be rejected. And most of the time we get rejected, and it's a sad truth. But we shouldn't be scared. We should continue to share the gospel, because you and I are called to obey the great commission of Jesus. You and I are called to follow the command of Jesus. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What are we afraid of? Because this great commission is not from a pastor. This great commission is not from our pastor or from the bishop or from our friends. This great commission comes from the Lord of the universe. This great commission we are given by the King of the universe, who defeated death and sin. And this great commission is given to us. And if we don't do it, then who does? This great commission is for me. And if I don't go and share the gospel and make disciples of all nations, then who does? And we are called to obey the great commission of Jesus. And one of the most important things you can see in this passage is the presence of Jesus. Jesus promises to be with us. What a relief. I'm not doing it on my own. Actually, Jesus is going to be with us. Jesus will never abandon us. Jesus will never leave us. Jesus not only gives us the promise, the great commission, but also he promises to be with us. One of the meanings of the name of God is Emmanuel, as we know, which means God with us. And Jesus says, I will be with you. And it is a mission. We are on a mission to share the gospel and the mission of evangelism. And evangelism should not be done by one person. Or it's always effective and powerful and efficient when it is done by a team. Evangelism should be done together. And when I read this chapter, it reminds me of the partnership I have with Wellspring Anglican Church. And God is doing amazing work through the service ministry here. And every week we have, dozens of non-Christian people come and sit here. And they read the Bible here. They walk into the building and they are hearing this great news. And God is doing amazing work by bringing lots of international students to Sabis and hearing the gospel. And it's all possible because of the partnership I have with you. If I didn't have partnership with you, it would be very hard to do this ministry. You do your part by praying for us. I do my part by going to the campus and sharing the gospel. And God does his part by giving it the growth. Sabi's ministry suffers if I don't have partnership with you, with Wellspring Anglican Church. Wellspring Anglican Church suffers if it doesn't have partnership with other church gospel workers. So we need to have the partnership in the ministry. I really like this saying. It goes something like this. I think it's an African saying, but I'm not 100% sure. But it goes something like this. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go with the team. As Christians, we want to go far, we want to go further and further, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And it is always better to go with a team. It's effective and powerful when we have a team, when we have a partnership in the gospel. And today I want to encourage you to partner in the gospel so that we can make disciples of all nations. And partnership is one of the most important things in any church, in any ministry. God is commanding us to go and make disciples of all nations. He says, all nations. As Sam said, all nations are coming to Tasmania. And I want to give you a little data here. Post-COVID, Indian students are the largest group coming to Australia. Nepalese being the second largest group coming to Australia. In 2015, in Australia, Nepali community was the fastest growing community. In 2016 in Tasmania, Nepali language was the second most spoken language other than English. Can you believe that? In little Hobart here, because I come from a very big city, so Hobart is a little, still it's a big town. In Hobart, over 73 languages are spoken. So why I'm saying is this, there's a massive field. The harvest is plentiful. But we need people to continue God's ministry here. So all nations are coming to Tasmania and they are living in our backyard. They live on the same street as we do. Their children go to the same school that our children go to. And they work at the same place that as we work. They are already here. But the question is, are we reaching out to them? Are we going to their place and sharing the gospel and making disciples? People from every language, every culture, every ethnic group, every nation need to hear the gospel of Jesus. If we don't go and share the gospel, then how can they hear? One of the things we do at Sabis is we get them to read God's word in their heart language. We all know that English wasn't, the Bible wasn't written in English. We all know that. The Bible was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and some parts in Aramaic. I'm going to ask you a question, the power of reading God's word in our heart language. I want to ask you a question. How many of you here would have become a Christian if you did not have the Bible in English? Anyone? Let me put it this way. How many of you here would have learned Latin or Greek so that you could read the Bible, so that you could become a Christian? Anyone? I think English is my fourth language. It's very difficult to learn different languages. It's extremely difficult sometimes. If you are gifted, you can. But if you are not gifted, it is so hard. But I don't think I would have become a Christian if I did not have the Bible in Nepali. Who cares reading English Bible if I don't know English? So that is the power of reading God's word in our heart language. That's what we do at Sabis. We haven't done recently, but that's we still want to do it. We still have the Bibles, over 200 bilingual Bibles in different many languages. When they come and hear the gospel in their heart language, that is so powerful. Reading God's word in our heart. When we give them the gospel, the gospel of Jesus in their language, that's how we can actually reach out to them. And we can be more effective and relevant, and we can make disciples of all nations. So people from all nations need to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus. They need to hear the gospel, the news of hope. They need to hear the news of salvation. They need to hear the news of Savior so that they can be saved. And Jesus not only gives us the great commission to go and do it, but also he says, I will be with you. What a relief. What a promise. He will be with us. Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. So we all here, everyone is the disciple of Jesus. And this commission, this great commission is for me. This is for anyone who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's partner in the gospel. Let's work together. Let's do the work of evangelism as a team. Let's share the gospel. Let's make disciples of all nations so that we can reach out to those people here and share the gospel and make disciples of all nations. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, you have brought thousands of international people from different parts of the world to Tasmania. This is a golden opportunity for us, and help us to see that and help us to reach out to them with your word and help us to make disciples of all nations. Thank you, God, for this great commission you gave us. It is a privilege for us to be given this great commission. And I want to thank you, God, for this great commission you gave us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen.